Calta newsroom where Rob says we have breaking news. I am unaware of what this is.
Oh, okay.
But the anticipation is giving me butterflies.
Well, it's something that I think you guys will find interesting because this happened during your lifetime. The Washington Post is reporting that the man who tried to assassinate President Reagan, John W. Hinckley Jr., will be set free from a government psychiatric hospital.
But not set free to the public, is he? Or
a
federal judge ruled Wednesday the 61-year-old Hinckley no longer is a danger to himself or others. He will be returned. He will be turned loose to live with his mother in Williamsburg, Virginia.
Which he had been doing. He had been getting weekend releases to his parents' houses.
Yeah.
So I, you know, at the time. He was doing this and for Jodie Foster, he shot him. He wanted the attention of the lesbian Jodie Foster. Then he realized she was a lesbian. He went crazy. No. I don't know how they determined that he's no longer a threat. Like they figured, he ain't going to get Reagan again.
Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah. But how do we know that he's not like, I fooled him. And I won't settle until I kill a president.
You know how? You don't know how. That's how.
Right.
They think that they know. They test them and they do all the stuff. But I'm sure there's plenty of people that know how to play the game and say, oh, yeah, I'm fine now.
I got to tell you, you shoot a president, that should be a life sentence.
Yeah.
That should be a murder. There should be instant death penalty.
Absolutely. I mean, isn't that treason?
Right.
Or, like, wouldn't that be considered?
Or maybe they're letting him lose. So whoever wins the next presidency, assassinate them.
Yeah.
They're going to send how old? 50-year-old.
Yeah, but what if 51?
They just 61. Trained him the entire time he was supposed to be in a mental health institution. They're like, hey, so we know you want to do it.
What if he's been assassinating people for us?
Oh.
Hey, look, we never thought anybody get the Reagan. Hinckley got in. We need to use his skills.
They've been training him and doing all that stuff, and they go, listen. It looks like Trump's going to win this goddamn thing. We got to release Hinckley.
Yeah. Hinckley? Yeah. He's been retired for 20 years.
Yeah.
Time to break Hinckley out.
It's like Sean Connery in The Rock.
Yeah.
Got to go back.
The weirdest part of the story is it says that if he relapses or violates the terms of his convalescent leave, if he relapses, that means he's shooting another individual trying to kill them.
No, he could have other mental
stalking
breakdowns or
any stuff. You know,
if I'm Jodie Foster, I fight against that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how do we know he's not going to start writing her letters again?
He's limited to a 50-mile radius of his mother's home, which will require him to turn over information about his mobile phone and vehicles that he will be driving, as well as bars that he will be going to. It also, it bars him from accessing social media.
That's entirely different. Yeah.
He's been able to leave since, it says 17 days a month he is allowed to leave the hospital now to go stay at the home of his 90-year-old mother in a gated golf course development.
Well, that's it. They got money. That's why.
His poor mother.
More breaking news. Mark David Chapman has been released, and he said, I'm coming to get you, Ringo.
Ringo? That's where he'd go?
He's going to get Ringo? Yeah. He couldn't get close to Paul McCartney. Paul's got too many people.
He's not, so. My dad used to see him in prison.
Oh, yeah?
And my dad said he's not.
Ringo?
No. Not Ringo. Chapman. Yeah.
Was he ever... Chapman was in, solitary confinement, right? He couldn't be around the rest of the pop?
My dad, I don't know. My dad told me he saw Chapman when they first arrested him, and he actually had to be a part of the transport to take him from one place to the other, and they took him to the hospital first because he was insane, and they had him tied down to the bed, and my dad and another guy had to watch him, and the other guy was a huge Beatles fan, and at the time, all the nurses were Asian. It was like an influx of Asians coming over to go to nursing school because the nursing career was on the rise. And my dad's friend used to go up to him and go, Yoko's here. Yoko's going to get you. My dad said to Chapman used to talk to the TV while it was off.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he was one of those people.
Oh, boy.
So he's nuts.
He's got the voices in his head.
He'll tell you now when you talk to, they do interviews with him, you know, now he's like, he's crazy. He still talks to.
Yes.
What about Berkowitz? Is he
still
alive?
I was just thinking of him because was that.
He talked to the dog.
Were you alive during that time or was that before? Because I know my mom was. My mom knew one of the
girls. That was like 75.
That got shot. They would come down and stay in Long Beach Island where my mom grew up. And this girl would always come in summer vacation. So she was friends with the girl and she would come down every summer. And then one summer she didn't come down because she got shot and killed by son of Sam.
He was the son of Sam. He was the .44 caliber killer. Is that right? And he would use the .44 Magnum, and he'd go up to people that were, banging or making out in cars, and he'd shoot women, in the cars, and he said that the neighbor dog used to tell him to do it. And
right.
Yeah, he was nuts.
Which I always thought, who would get rid of a talking dog? That doesn't make sense.
That doesn't.
Yeah, if you have a talking dog.
He didn't get rid of the dog. It was a neighbor's dog.
Oh, it was a neighbor's dog.
I knew it was a neighbor's dog.
Yeah, but when you put that dog in the circus, why would it just be sitting in an apartment in the Bronx?
Seems like a waste of a talking dog. I'm looking at Mark David Chapman. So he was married to an Asian lady and still is. Whoa. Is he still married to her? She's still.
Oh, you know what? He actually married Ringo. I mean, no, Ringo. Yoga, screwed all up.
I'm looking at this thing, and I believe they're still married. Her name is Gloria Hiroko. Oh. Hiroko.
Hiroko.
Hiroko, Yoko.
Hiroko. That's how much he loved
right, yeah.
John Lennon.
Yeah.
He went and married himself an Asian woman.
And that rhymes.
He's going to be him. Kind of like whenever Spanish murders you and marries a
wear your skin.
Best serial killer of all time. Do you have one? I know it sounds weird.
Like a favorite?
I have my favorite.
No, I don't have a favorite.
Richard Speck is scary.
Who's that?
Is he the original?
Richard Speck was the one that was killing the nurses and stuff. I just remember because... I think it was in St. Louis or where was it? But I remember when Geraldo interviewed.
Chicago.
Yeah, Geraldo interviewed him, and he was saying about if he got out, whether he would kill people. And he was big guy, and he goes, yeah, like that, like all weird. And he goes, would you like to murder me? And he goes, yeah, like a shy little kid. You know, do you want some ice cream? Yeah, you know, it was so weird.
Like what's his name? Sutherland, Donald Sutherland in Backdraft.
Yeah, yeah, lighting the fires, mm-hmm. being a pyro.
You're about to let him out, and then De Niro got him to keep him in there.
Yeah.
David Berkowitz looks like Judd Hirsch.
Yes, definitely.
Like a smiley Judd Hirsch.
Yeah.
David Berkowitz is still alive, and he's 63 years old, and he's serving 6 life sentences. Ooh. And he didn't even kill a president.
Yeah.
And this guy's getting out now.
But he killed a bunch of people, though.
Yeah,
and Hinckley didn't kill a president, technically.
Berkowitz killed six.
Seven. He should be charged with the murder of... of James Brady, because he crippled James Brady, and James Brady died years later in complications of his paralysis. So,
yeah. Let's get to who Rob's favorite serial murderer is.
Yeah, sorry.
I didn't know.
That Berkowitz now? He looks so much better.
Ooh. Still looks like he talks to TVs, though.
Yeah,
for sure.
He also looks like I should be taking bones out of his body with tweezers.
An operation.
He does look like the operation guy.
Right? Oh, yes.
Watch out for the breadbasket. All right. Sorry, Rob. Back to your favorite serial killer.
I didn't realize I'm the only weirdo that has a favorite serial killer.
I have one, but
Zodiac
Maybe
killer.
If you put him out.
Oh, Zodiac Killer, but who is it?
Exactly. Yeah. That's why I love the story, because if you go and watch the movie or read any of the books that the guy wrote, just the way he was taunting police and writing letters to the police and going, I'm going to do it again, and he terrorized San Francisco for like 12
absolutely.
Years.
And they also believe that he was the Green River Killer, right? Like it was the same guy.
Yeah, there were ties to them as well.
Right, there's a lot of stuff. Very interesting.
See, I like Ed Gein. He's one of the original serial killers. And
he's an OG.
Yeah, he's an OG. And he was so bananas that he made lamps out of people's skins, necklaces out of ears.
Now, when you say original, was this back like Jack the Ripper time or what?
Hold on. No. It's past that. This was in the early
70s, 60s.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a 60.
Oh, well then.
But he was like I said, one of the first ones where, you know, his mom was abusive to him and she died and he was all crazy because of his mom. He'd lure people in. He seemed all friendly, but then would kill you and then cut you up and wear your skin. He had heads in his freezer.
Oh, he had bodies in his basement because he dressed up as a clown and would be a clown at kids' parties.
That's Casey.
Oh,
Casey. You're
Casey.
Mixing your cereal.
All right, so now I need to find one now.
Look, he made a cup out of somebody's skull. That's how bananas he was.
Oh, that's just tough.
57.
It's just tough.
Yeah. Didn't they say he killed his brother too? Like he and his brother walked out into a field and he attacked his brother.
I believe so. Yeah, because he was not. He was mentally. Yeah, he is definitely mentally impaired.
There's Ted Bundy.
Too good looking.
Not only too good looking, but they don't like anybody that beats up girls.
That was part of his thing, though. He was good looking and supposedly very charismatic, and girls would be like, oh, seems like a nice guy.
Continued to escape from prison and then got out of prison. Didn't he kill a bunch of sorority girls in Florida?
Yeah.
Was he the one with the couch where he would get girls to help him with the couch in his van or whatever?
No, that's Buffalo from, Bob.
That's from
Times. The Zodiac Killer.
Great guy.
Came in number 2.
I'd be a terrible human being. Great serial killer.
John Wayne Gacy. Is the craziest story, not only for the clown, but he raped and tortured those kids and then buried all the bodies underneath. And
by the way, I'm just going to turn this around and you tell me who this looks like.
Hobby.
Yeah. That's Richard Speck.
Oh, man.
From Chicago as well, too.
Yeah.
It's all lining up.
Boy, you might want to check out the bloodline there and get a little 23andMe done on Hobby and Speck. Let me see who else. Dahmer. We forgot about Dahmer.
Yeah, but that was weird. Eating people and drilling holes in their heads. So much work.
You got the AC/DC Night Stalker.
Ramirez.
The Night Stalker.
Where's H.H. Holmes? I'm unfamiliar with him. He confessed to 27 murders and is believed to have killed as many as 200 people.
Wow.
In the late 1800s during the World Fair, he ran a hotel equipped for killing, outfitted with gas lines into the guest rooms, giant furnaces, lime and acid pits. Oh, Jesus. The BTK killer.
Yeah.
Remember, they finally got that guy.
Right.
Because he was sending emails from his church, right?
Yep. Oh, there's Eileen Wuornos. She
Monster.
Was from here. Monster, yeah. Who is Edmund Kemper? The co-ed killer.
The co-ed.
He killed 10 people. He was confined to a juvenile facility after killing his grandparents at 15 and carried on with his killings after being released. In 72 to 73, Kemper killed his mother and a friend, as well as six female college students who he mutilated and had sex with after their deaths.
Oh, that's a guy that's got issues with mom.
Don't like that guy at all.
Look at Otis Toole. That is that guy just, I mean, look at him. He looks like a monster. Otis Toole was an American drifter who was convicted of six counts of murder. Like his companion, Henry Lee Lucas, Toole made confessions he later recanted, but which resulted in murder convictions.
Whoa. Yeah, a partner?
I guess so, yeah.
Richard Trenton, the vampire of Sacramento.
All right. All right.
A lot of stranglers. Not a fan of the strangling.
Bill Curtis can't be happy with this. I'm looking at all these different serial killers, and it says people also searched Bill Curtis.
Who's Dorothy Puente? They have her on here as a list of serial killers, but I don't know her.
I don't know.
Then there's Danny Rawlings, who is the Gainesville killer.
Ooh. Yeah.
That's
stepping into, what's his name's territory, Ten Bundy, isn't it?
Toy box killer David Parker Ray. You familiar with him?
No, sounds fun, though.
Sexually tortured and killed his victims in a converted RV trailer equipped with thousands of dollars of S&M and bondage equipment, as well as a manner of torture devices. Women were abused and recorded and then presumably killed, though no remains were ever found in or near the toy box killer's location.
Have you heard of the...
By the way, which was Truth or Consequence in New Mexico, where I live.
Have you heard of the smiley face killer theory?
Yes, I don't know what you're talking about, but I know that sounds familiar.
There's college students are going missing. Generally, male drunk college students who are by themselves go missing, and their bodies are found in bodies of water, and there's always a smiley face spray painted somewhere near the body, and people think that these kids are getting abducted. They don't know what's happening to them, but they find them dead in the water, and then they see the smiley face. So they're saying that there is over 40 murders where these smiley faces have appeared, and it's directly correlated to young men around the college age students being found dead.
There he is, Keith Hunter Jesperson, the happy face killer.
Ooh, there is a
terrifying
guy that was a teenage killer. Charles Raymond Starkweather was an American teenage spree killer who murdered 11 people in the states of Nebraska and Wyoming in a two-month murder spree.
Oh, man. Jeez. So, evidently, the happy face killer exists, Keith Hunter Jesperson. He killed 8 women, including his longtime girlfriend, and then would put the happy faces up there. So, what you're talking about... maybe a copycat killer.
Yeah, because this is just a theory that's been floating around by New York police detectives since 2008. But there's no actual, besides the pictures and just seeing the smiley faces, there's no actual evidence that it's one guy doing it.
Very interesting. I don't have a favorite.
No?
Nope. I'm
it's like your middle name. You just don't have one.
Yeah. Well, I can't settle on one.
Right. Oh, there's they're all so good. Yeah.
There's so many good ones.
That HH guy with the whole hotel, that's pretty
but it was in the 1800s.
People were dumber then, easier. And what was their life expectancy? Ready? Like 45? Yeah. So.
Oh, if that.
And the only defense you had to tell him back then wasn't me. Oh, he says it wasn't him. Let him free. Anyway, the reason we're talking about this is because the man who shot President Reagan, John Hinckley Jr., has been released or will be released from jail, which I think is very interesting that you can shoot a president and still be free in your lifetime. Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mike. You guys were talking about Ted Bundy and how he was charming. That was just the media sensationalization of him. He was a very good-looking guy, but his M.O. was that he would put on a fake cast and then drop a tire iron or something outside his car like that, and he'd hang out where young women hung out,
yeah,
and pretend like he needed help, and then he would bash him in the head with a tire iron.
But the
so
thing
he
was,
charming or cool.
But he was charming because he'd be like, you know, how many women are going to help you change a tire or something or go over there? Yeah, he wore the fake cast. That's how he got busted, too. Didn't they get him on traffic? They pulled him over on a traffic mistake that he made. I don't remember what it was. And then when they
were like, he's intoxicated.
I want to say, here's why I remember is the movie with Mark Harmon where he played him. I remember he made like an illegal turn or something at the end. I remember the guy narrating and the FBI guy was like, at the end, the thing that got Ted Bundy was that he was a bad driver. Yeah. So, but he killed those girls in the dorms. And they had to believe he had to charm his way into the dorm. That's why he's got that reputation.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, he actually climbed in through a window. He didn't, he didn't charm his way in.
No, all the time, because they even said that even in his interviews when he was talking about it, he's very calm and collective and stuff like that. So he is known.
Well, that's because he's a psychopath.
Would you say he's your favorite serial killer, sir?
You know, when I watched the movie like you did when I was very young, and I thought that how could you be that cool and that charming, and I was kind of, I just wanted to find out how you could be that way, and then when I started reading more about him, it wasn't that he was so cool and so charming. He could be,
yeah,
but that's not how he got the women. He got them by tricking women that were nice enough to help him and then bashing their skulls in. Then he would go back and pleasure himself to their skulls.
Sounds
like that.
Very
yeah.
charming.
Who hasn't?
Thank you, sir. I appreciate the call.
Bundy was arrested in August 1975 by a Utah Highway Patrol officer after he failed to pull over for a routine traffic stop. The officer, noting the Volkswagen's front passenger seat was missing, searched his car. He found a ski mask, a second mask fashioned from pantyhose, a crowbar, handcuffs, trash bags, rope, all kind of stuff.
But so they say Ted Bundy also wanted to be caught. Like, he wanted to be punished for his crimes. It was part of his craziness.
The best part was that he was caught with the ski mask, so he goes, okay, well, that was for skiing. But everything else, the pantyhose, the crowbar, the handcuffs, the trash bags, the coil of rope, the ice pick, he said, oh, they were just, you know, household items.
List them down slow.
Okay. Pantyhose?
Yeah, well, my wife, my girlfriend left.
Or pantyhose. Joe Namath wears them. Yeah. When it's cold, you put it on. I'm skiing. I got the ski mask. I put it on my legs.
Yeah. Crowbar?
Yeah, well, I got a tire. I got to change the tire.
Okay, handcuffs.
Handcuffs were my Uncle Phil's. He left them in the car.
What does Uncle Phil have handcuffs for?
He's a security.
Handcuffs. I'm going to see Rosie at the ski lodge, and she likes a little kinky. I like that.
Let's see what else he had. A coil of rope.
Yep, likes a kinky.
No, something happens.
An ice pick.
I like ice.
I'm going. I'm going skiing. There's a lot of ice up there. I like to make margaritas with fresh ice.
Make margaritas.
And other items that are assumed to be burglar tools.
That's different.
I do not burgle.
Brian, you're on the Mike Calta Show.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up to you the H.H. Holmes guy you guys are talking about. Leonardo DiCaprio is going to play him, and directed by none other than Scorsese.
They need to break up that marriage. I don't like the Scorsese DiCaprio thing. Yeah, I believe it's hurting DiCaprio. Let him branch out and go with other directors.
Well, Philosophy was awesome.
It was.
No, I love Scorsese. I just think that that they need to split up now.
But that'll be the story. Like, all of Scorsese movies, it'll be the rise of H.H. Holmes, and then we'll see the fall of H.H. Holmes. You know
it's called The Devil in the White City is the movie that he was talking about for
Great
Paramount.
Title.
Yeah.
And when is that coming out?
That is... I don't know.
Work on it.
I'll find out.
Let me go to James. Good morning, James.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
What's up, buddy?
I was calling in. Have you done any research on Albert Fish?
Albert Fish. I have not. Who is Mr. Fish?
He was back in the early 1900s. What he would do, he would abduct kids, torture them, cook them, and eat them. And then
Mr.
He would write letters to the parents and tell them exactly what he did to them.
Oh, that's horrible. Did he tell them what they would taste like?
Yes.
Yeah, that's...
Dear Mrs. Johnson, I did not enjoy your son. He was tough.
Albert Fish is known for being one of the most vile pedophiles and killers of all time. After his capture, He admitted to molesting over 400 children and tortured and killed several others. Fish was a small, gentle-looking man who appeared kind and trusting, yet once alone with his victims, the monster inside him was unleashed. A monster so perverse and cruel his crime seemed unbelievable. He was eventually executed, and according to rumors, he turned his own execution into a fantasy of pleasure.
Wow.
So what was he doing? Rubbing one out? Let me get to the good stuff. According to Fish, in 1890, he relocated to New York and began his crimes there. He would lure children away from their homes, torture them in various ways, including his favorite, the use of a paddle laced with sharp nails, then rape them. As time went on, the sexual fantasies he would act out on the children grew more fiendish and bizarre, and he often ended in murdering and cannibalizing his young victims. Ugh. He was a father of six, by the way. In 1898, he married and later fathered six children. The children led average lives up till 1917, after Fish's wife ran off with another man. It was at that time the children recall Fish occasionally asking him to participate in his sadomasochistic game.
Kids. During this time, he started to indulge in self-harm. He would embed needles into his groin and abdomen. After his arrest, x-rays revealed that he had at least 29 needles lodged in his pelvic region.
He also
hit himself repeatedly with a nail-studded paddle and inserted wool doused with lighter fluid into his...
BH?
Yeah.
Wow. And
set
his own BH on fire?
Yeah! Oh, we got to do that here.
Cold night, you know. By the way, the movie that we were talking about with DiCaprio and Scorsese, that is coming out in 2017.
All right. There you go.
Devil in the White City.
Something to look forward to.
Steve and Julie Weintraub here for the Golden Diamond Source. If you're thinking about getting engaged, Golden Diamond Source is your one-stop destination.
Shop, compare, and save at the Golden Diamond Source.
3800 Ulmerton Road.
Or online at goldendiamondsource.com.